like to share a few scriptures this morning. Been thinking about the body of Christ. And I'd like to look in the book of John, the first chapter. John, the first chapter and the first verse, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that is made." I'd like to go down to verse 14, and it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, I just was thinking about the Word becoming flesh, how Jesus took upon Himself the a body like we have, and what a wonderful thing it was. You know, it was hard for a lot of people to comprehend. I believe most of the ones that weren't, I believe many people saw Jesus and believed that He was the Son of God. I was reading there's a scripture there in another place of John that talked about Jesus, some of the things that He was teaching them and saying, and after that it said many believed on Him. And then he answered, he followed that up, and he said, "You are My disciples indeed, if you'll follow the truth and keep the truth." He said, "You'll be My disciples indeed." So there were many that saw Him. And John here says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I would have liked to have been there. I would have liked to have seen, heard the Lord teach and to sit at His feet and to see the miracles. I would have liked to have seen that, but I wasn't born at that time. That wasn't my time. But we can see Him, I believe, now in the Spirit as we live for Him and follow Him. I believe Jesus can be revealed to us in our hearts, in our lives, His characteristics, His attributes, and His truth can be revealed to us. I wanted to get also John, the first chapter, the 1 John, in the first chapter. It seems like John mentions this quite a bit. I didn't look them all up, but I notice he mentions it quite a bit. But here in the first verse of the first chapter of 1 John, it says, "That which was from the beginning," and this is kind of the way the Gospel of John starts out, "which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So He said, we've handled, we've heard, we've touched. I know there's different places where it said that John laid his head on Jesus' bosom. They felt Him, they saw Him, and He was from heaven. He was the Son of God. And what a wonderful thing that was to have looked upon, have seen, have handled of the Word of life. They saw His life. They saw what He did. They saw how He lived. And they saw Him from day to day. And they believed that He was the Son of God. And I just thank the Lord that we have that opportunity too. Another verse, we have an opportunity through the Spirit. We don't see Him in the flesh like they did, but we still have opportunity to know Christ in a personal way. In the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, I want to get the fulfillment. Luke, the first chapter, and the 26th verse. It says, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." In other words, she's saying, what's going on here? She was struck by this salutation. "The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Amen. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Isn't that my mind is hard to take that in, but there was it in Isaiah said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son." That was a prophecy that was given, and here the angel saying that, I don't, how's this going to happen? I haven't known a man. The Lord's going to overshadow thee. And the Lord, He was born of a Virgin Mary, the Son of God. He didn't have a biological earthly father. God was His Father. And I thank God today that this miracle of life, I believe one place it called Him the Desire of Ages. Jesus was promised from the beginning. He was the Desire of Ages. It said in chapter 2 and verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went out from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away, I think we probably would have enjoyed being there too and seeing that sight. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those sayings which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And then it goes on that talks about his circumcision and being in the temple. How Simeon recognized that this was the Son of God. I think about how the greatness of his kingdom. Simeon also mentioned, I wanted to read that. It says in verse 26, It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were... They didn't go in there saying, This is the Son of God. They just brought him, quietly brought him in to be circumcised. And I don't know, the moment that Simeon, somehow he took the child up and something wonderful happened. It was revealed to him. He recognized this babe is the Son of God. This is the Christ. This is the long... You know, they argued with Jesus and one of the disciples said, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? But it was public information that he was born at Bethlehem. I mean, the shepherds, maybe they forgot over the course of his life, but people knew. They saw the angels and they published it everywhere that this was a miracle that Jesus was born in Bethlehem according to the scriptures. He was of the lineage of, and I believe, Joseph and Mary both were of the lineage of David. And This is just a miracle, a wonder, a wonderful thing that God had promised from the beginning of ages, and now it's come to a promise and came to pass, and it said, of His kingdom there shall be no end. And I thank the Lord for that today. His kingdom, there shall be no end. But He mentioned, He said, a light, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, verse 30, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And then Anna came in, and a prophetess, and she saw. But I'm thinking about how Jesus came down to earth in flesh and blood, just like we have, flesh and blood. I wanted to get another scripture in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And I'd like to read a few verses here. In the first verse, it says, the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. There's so many prophecies of Christ. There's so many fulfillments of His coming, of His coming to earth. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. You know, those sacrifices back then were just to help us to recognize that there's a penalty of sin, that there needed to be a shedding of blood. But those sacrifices didn't equal, that sacrifice didn't equal our transgression, the value of it. Couldn't pay that penalty, that price. And he said, in burnt offering and sacrifice for sin, that has no pleasure. You know, God just had that a temporary thing. The Jews were wanting to hold on to that. But that was just temporary till Christ could come into the earth and come into the form of a human body and to live among us. And there was so many... Not only was He a sacrifice. You know, when John saw Jesus coming, he said, behold the Lamb of God. John knew that he was coming as a sacrifice. That's what lambs were for. They were for sacrifice. And when he saw Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Jesus knew. I don't know You know, I kind of wondered, what age did Jesus recognize? What age did he recognize that he was to be the sacrificial lamb? I don't know. But I believe it was early on, because his whole life was given, his purpose, his mission was to be a sacrifice. And not only that, but he took upon him flesh to help to know how to be a high priest for us, to know what it's like to suffer in the flesh, to go through the things that we go through. We get tired and weary in body. You know, Jesus knows. He got tired. He got weary. When he sat by the well there, the Samaritan, it said, Jesus being wearied with his journey. He knows what it's like to lose somebody. He wept with Mary and Martha at the passing of Lazarus. Jesus wept. He felt their pain. He felt their heartache. And he is tempted in every point like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted. He had temptations that come to his mind. He had things that come to his mind that the devil was trying to allure him to, but it says, yet without sin. He resisted those temptations. I believe if he would have sinned, he wouldn't have been able to be the sacrifice for us. It had to be a lamb that was spotless, a lamb that was without blemish. And that's what Jesus was, and he was able to offer himself for us. Verse 9, he said, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Because he gave his physical body, he gave his life on the cross. Now I want to read a little bit more. It says, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore, whereof the Holy Ghost is also a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. You see, remember the temple, the veil separated the holy and the holy of holies. And when Jesus died, when he gave his life on the cross, that veil, it said it rent in twain. And verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Isn't that wonderful? That veil in the temple represents the body of Christ. Only the high priest could go into the holiest of holies once a year. And it says Jesus went into the true tabernacle by his own blood, making a sacrifice for us before God. You know, when they did the law, there was they offered that, and I know many of them probably loved God and they were sincere, but it made no change in their life. There was, you know, when they walked away, they were still the same person. But here he says that he quoted this scripture, I believe it's found in Joel, about this covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. You know, when we come to Jesus and we open our hearts, we ask forgiveness, we give ourselves to Him, the Lord writes His law. We are sanctified. He comes into us and He writes His laws upon the table of our hearts and in our minds that gives us, you know, I remember when I was reaching out and I made contact with God, there was a change. I didn't want to do the same things that I used to do. I had new desires. I had new things working in my heart and my mind. I had new things that had come. And I remember thinking, how could I have been so ignorant, so dumb for so long? I didn't understand. But when the Lord, I went through that veil, through Christ, I found a relationship with God. His law was written in my heart and in my life. And we thank God today that came about because He was born. Through His body, He gave Himself to us. And we thank the Lord for that this morning. You know, it doesn't stop there though. We become the body of Christ. The Lord has ascended back into heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit. The people were cleansed. They were waiting for the promise of the Father. And the Holy Spirit came on that day of Pentecost. And it filled the room that they were in. And it filled them. And God, the in-breathing, the empowerment, that was His body, that was His temple. In the New Testament, we become His body. We become His temple, His vessel, His flesh. And He's not here in the flesh, but we are. And He can indwell in us. And He can exhibit Himself through our lives. He can work through our lives. We become His hands. We become His mouth. We become His feet. We become His body that He dwells in. A fleshly body that God inhabits and dwells in. I am so thankful today that it's not in the temple made with hands. I'm thankful it's not just a building. I'm thankful today that God can meet with us wherever we're at. When our hearts, we can enter into that most holy place because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us and that He gave to us. And that's the only way that we can be saved. That's the only way we can make it is through Jesus Christ, through the offering and the sacrifice that He made for us. You know, there's a scripture in Romans 12. He mentions Romans 12. And I believe we sang one of the verses of the song. Mentioned this thought that we sang. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, when we live for God, we present our bodies to Jesus. We give Him our body. We give Him our life. We give Him our present and our future. And Lord, help us today to continue to give ourselves to Christ. to his, you know, Christ had certain desires when he was here on earth. He had desires to do the will of God. He didn't come to just live unto himself and do his own thing. Another scripture I wanted to, that the Hebrews writer quotes is in the book of Psalms, the 40th chapter. The one that we read said, "I've come, a body thou hast given me, I've come to do thy will, O God." That's found in Psalms, the 40th chapter. I want to get that real quick because there's some other verses with it. Psalms 40 and verse 5, he said, "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done." You know, to me, this is the greatest one. Out of all creation, to me, Christ coming into a human body and giving himself for us is the greatest. Is the greatest, most wonderful work that God has done. "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward." Clear from the beginning, the Lord wanted to retrieve us. He wanted to. He wanted us to be unto himself. He wanted to redeem us. We were in a plight that we couldn't help ourselves. We couldn't do it ourselves. He said, "Many, O God, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that great, many number are the thoughts of God towards us? Towards people, his people? I believe they are. Then he said, this is what was quoted in Hebrews, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened." And this is, I believe, a prophecy of Christ. "Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." You know, Jesus, he taught. He didn't conceal God's righteousness. He brought forth, he told them everything. He said, "Everything that I've heard of my Father, I have made known, and I have declared them unto you." But that was the desire of Jesus. That was, and we want, since we are his body, we want that desire living in us too. That we would glorify God and that we would be able to be a conduit and a blessing to those round about us. That we would be willing to share our testimony and what God has done in our lives when God opens the door. That we would have that same, just like Christ, that was his desire, that was his passion. If we're his body, may that be our passion. May that be our desire, our zeal. Lord, my body is yours. Take it and use it like you would like to use it. You know, the Lord wants to work through his body. He wants to work through us, but we've got to give it over to him. We've got to tell him, we get up in the morning, "Lord, I'm available today. What errand do you have me to run on?" I was praying that way the other day. "Lord, it seemed like one thing got done. Lord, what's next? What's my next mission here?" You know, the Lord can give us assignments. He does. He gives us assignments. He has things that he wants us to accomplish. May we have that desire in our hearts and our lives to do the will of God and to give ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. I thank the Lord today that I haven't seen Christ in his physical body when he was here on earth, but I've seen Christ in the flesh, in other flesh. I've seen the glory of God revealed in the flesh, people's flesh, because the Lord was living in them. I have seen the glory of the Lord in people's lives shine when they go through the difficulties and trials, and they're still standing when it's all over with, and people humbling their hearts before God and seeking what, that's the glory of the Lord being revealed through flesh. And the Lord is still alive today. You know, we're not the head. The scripture's clear. We're not the head. We're just the body. We're just to get the impulses. You know, we've got our spinal cord, and we've got all those nerves that run down the back of our spinal cord, and they go out to the different parts of the body. Those nerves are very sensitive. You get a pinched nerve, you know you've pinched a nerve. But the signals come through from the head, and they go throughout the whole body. And that's what we want. We want the Lord's Spirit signaling through our head, through Christ, coming down through us, that when He wants me to speak, I'll speak. When He wants me to be quiet, I'll be quiet. When He wants me to go, I'll go. When He wants me to stay, I'll stay. I'm connected to that live nerve, the Holy Spirit, that those impulses come through to our body. We are the body of Christ now. The Lord still has a body. It's a wonderful, it's glorious, it's beautiful. There is nothing like the body of Christ. It is beautiful. Just like when he was here on earth, they said, you know, he was in the temple at 12 years old, and they marveled at what he said. They marveled at his understanding. And when they, you know, when they went to get him one time, the Jews sent people to get him. Said, where's he at? They said, well, never man spake like this man. He was imbued. So it said that Christ, he didn't give him the Spirit by measure. He had the fullness of God's Spirit. But we too are the body of Christ. We are living, and God wants to touch people's lives through us. Lord, help us today to be strongly attached, that's the desire of our heart, is to glorify God and not live life unto ourselves, not just do our own thing and be caught up on our own thing, and we fail to recognize the opportunities that come by us each day, but help us to be willing. I thought there in Isaiah, you remember when he took the coals off the altar, and he said he touched his mouth with live coals off the altar, and he said, here am I, send me. Lord, here am I, send me. You know, I believe the Lord is pleased when we have that desire. And, you know, we don't want to look at the work of God as just something hard and drudgery. And because, you know, I'm finding many times God ministers to my own heart through when He's flowing through me to others. You know, when I'm in the place that the Holy Spirit is working, it's like my own heart gets nourished too. And Jesus brought that out in one place. He talked about the servants. He said, you know, the servants don't come in and just sit down. They serve the master. They serve him. They take care of their responsibility. But then it comes their turn to sit down and eat. You know, they don't have to go without. They don't starve. And I find many times when my heart is in that place of serving God and just offering myself, giving up, the Lord's meeting the needs of my own life. He's making changes in my own heart. He's given me greater depths and greater victory in my own life. And I just thank God today for His... I'm thankful that He came as a babe, that He grew up, that He gave His life. And I'm thankful that He's at the right hand of the Father today. He's got a glorified body now. But I'm thankful that He still has a body here on earth too. And I want to be a part of that body. I want to be a member. And I want to fulfill the place that God has for me. Appreciate your attention this morning. The body of Christ is a wonderful, wonderful thing.